to Swami Srila Prabhupada.
The demon addressed the Lord, or best of the demigods, dressed in the form of a boar, just hear me. This earth is entrusted to us, the inhabitants of the lower regions, and you cannot take it from my presence and not be hurt by me. Translation responsibly. The demon addressed the Lord.
The demon addressed the Lord.
O best of the demigods.
O best of the demigods.
Dressed in the form of a boar.
Dressed in the form of a boar.
Just hear me.
Just hear me.
This earth is entrusted to us.
This earth is entrusted to us.
The inhabitants of the lower regions.
The inhabitants of the lower regions.
And you cannot take it from my presence.
And you cannot take it from my presence.
And not be hurt by me.
And not be hurt by me.
Sridhar Swami, commenting on this verse, states that although the demon wanted to deride the personality of Godhead in the form of a boar, actually he worshipped him in several words. For example, he addressed him as Abana Gochura, which means one who is a resident of the forest. But another meaning of Abana Gochura is one who lies on the water. Vishnu lies on the water, so the Supreme Personality of Godhead can be properly addressed in this way. The demon also addressed him as Riga, indicating, unintentionally, that the Supreme Personality is sought after by great sages, saintly persons, and transcendentalists. He also addressed him as Agya. Sridhar Swami says that Gya means knowledge, and there is no knowledge which is unknown to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Indirectly, therefore, the demon said that Vishnu knows everything. The demon addressed him as Suradama. Sura means the demigods, and Adama means Lord of all there is. He is the Lord of all the demigods. Therefore, he is the best of all demigods, or God. When the demon used the phrase, in my presence, the implied meaning was, in spite of my presence, you are completely able to take away the earth. Naswasti yashasi. Unless you kindly take this earth from our custody, there can be no good fortune for us. Omagyan Tibetandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshuru Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurve Nama Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Pakadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Vancha kalpata rubyas cha kripa sindhu bhe vacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, this is the first incarnation of Krishna who appears in the Bhagavatam. The first time we see Krishna in the Bhagavatam is in the first canto, chapter 7, where we see him as the chariot driver of Arjuna, Ardhasarathi. Ashwatthama is trying to flee, and Krishna and Arjuna are chasing Ashwatthama. So it's the first time you see Krishna, which is significant, as we've explained before. Because Krishna's overriding quality, Krishna has unlimited qualities, and Rupa Goswami lists 64 qualities in the Nectar of Devotion, the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. But of all the qualities, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says the overriding quality is Bhakta Vatsala, which means that he loves his devotees. He protects his devotees. So that's the first time you see Krishna. The first time you see Krishna in the Gita is Ardhasarathi. He is protecting the devotee. And the first time you see him in the Bhagavatam, he's doing the same thing. But then the first time you see the Lord, the first time you see the Lord actually appear. Yeah, interesting. The first time you actually see him appear within the Bhagavatam is in the form of a boar. Now this is significant also. Why would he appear in the form of a boar? And why would be that? Why would that be the first incarnation? Because he's trying to show everyone that regardless of what his form is, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We don't worship Krishna usually... you don't normally worship a boar. A boar is considered low class, untouchable. It's a foul animal. They're not given respect. They're considered to be a low birth, an ignorant birth. And if you look at the activities of the boar, it's an ignorant birth. A stool eater. It's considered to be practically as low as it gets. So the fact that the Lord appears in this form, that he is the Lord, it is Krishna, it is Vishnu, it is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself in the form of a boar. He is showing that my form, regardless of what it may appear to be, it is fully transcendental. And the word Krishna means one who is all attractive. Lord Boar was all attractive. Right? He is the most beautiful. If you saw him, you'd be captivated. That is the nature of Krishna's form. Whenever someone sees Krishna, they become stunned by his beauty. It is overpowering. So when he appears in the form of a boar, it may appear that he is just a boar, but no, it is overpowering. It is, and everyone becomes captivated within the universe. And all the sages begin to offer prayers to the boar and worship the boar. And when the boar flicks his hair, the water sprinkles everyone. It becomes like just like a holy water. Like in the morning, we'll take the water that we offer to the deities of Prabhupada and we'll throw it on everyone and we feel purified. So everyone feels purified. Normally, if a boar in this world flicks, everyone runs. We don't try to get near a boar. It's not purifying, it's contaminating. But when Lord Boar, when he flicks the water, everyone becomes purified. They become attracted. They want to receive that mercy. The great sages were worshipping that water. So, Krishna is showing that in the Bhagavatam, that regardless of which form I take, I am supreme. And he takes unlimited forms. And he takes the form of the fish, but that is supreme. He takes the form of the boar, of the half-man, half-lion, as the dwarf personality. He takes these apparently lower births to show us that he is not low, but he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, this is training our mind and training our consciousness, because the Bhagavatam is spoken categorically. Prabhupada explains this in the introduction of the Bhagavatam. He says the Bhagavatam is spoken systematically and categorically. In other words, you have to study it categorically, and if you study the first 9 cantos, then you'll get to the 10th canto, and then what will you understand? That this personality you are dealing with in the 10th canto is divine. So that's why we have to study all of the cantos systematically. And when you go through, and if you study it properly, it trains us to understand, regardless of what the Lord does, and regardless of how he appears, he is divine, he is supreme. This is Divya Lila. It is not a material activity. And particularly when you get to the 10th canto, then Krishna's pastimes appear to be human-like. They're very human in appearance, in many ways. I mean, there's some things which are extraordinary, which only a very great person can do. But generally, he is seen to be very ordinary in a sense. So then people should not become confused, because we saw that Lord Brahma became confused. What is the name of that pastime? Brahma Vimohana Lila. So Vimohana. Mohan means bewildered. Madan Mohana. Krishna is Mohan. Mohan means he bewilders. Cupid is known as Mohan. Cupid means the power of the opposite sex. It bewilders. You become complete, even you see all of us. You see all the men. You see a beautiful woman, and you just be... you can be completely absorbed in something. But when you see a strikingly beautiful woman, you just... suddenly you're just bewildered. You completely forget in a moment what I was doing, where I am, what happens. You see people drop things. They become completely bewildered. So this is mohan, bewilderment. Vimohan means totally bewildered, like to an extreme or extremely bewildered. So the Lord He totally bewildered Lord Brahma to show him, don't think I'm ordinary. Because what was taking place is Lord Brahma looked down on the earth. And he knew it was time for the scheduled incarnation. He knew that the Lord was about to appear. So he thought, okay, the Lord is there, the person I worship. So I'll look down and I'll see what is he doing and I'll absorb myself in his lila. So he looked down and he said, where is he? He's in Vrindavan. What's he doing? He's next to the Jamuna River. What's he doing with his friends? He's having a picnic. So everyone's having a picnic together. And then the friends are taking food from Krishna's plate and putting it in their mouth. Right? And then they're taking food from their plate and they're putting it in Krishna's mouth. And then Lord Brahma looks down and he says, he becomes bewildered. He thinks, this is God? Because normally, I mean, you know, if Rasika is on the altar, he's not going to go up and, you know, taste some of the pakoras. Yeah, he's not going to chew a little bit and then go up to Balabha and, you know, put it in his mouth and say, how do you like this? You know, everyone will jump on the altar and say, hey, what's, you know, what are you doing? So Lord Brahma, he was looking down, he thinks, what's he doing? You know, he just, they're taking food, they're putting it in each other's mouth. Is this God? That was the question in his mind. He had doubt. Actually, the Acharyas explained that Brahma was covered by Krishna at that point in time, so this lila could be performed. So he covered Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma became bewildered. So he came down, and then he all the calves began to wander away. So Krishna said to his friends, just wait. Enjoy your picnic. You don't have to disturb yourself. I'll go off and I'll see where the calves are. So the Lord is in the mood of the servant. That's an interesting point that we have to imbibe from the pastime. Sometimes we don't like to serve others. Do you ever have that feeling in your consciousness? You don't like to serve? Even someone said to me recently, they said, I'm not your servant. Which is true. But it's also false. Because if we don't want to serve someone, yet, and Prabhupada says this, he makes this point at the end of the third chapter in the first canto in one of his purports. He said, you have to examine your consciousness. If you're envious of anyone in this world, anyone, right, from a bug to a person to anyone, if you're envious of anyone, that means you're still envious of Krishna. And if you're envious of Krishna, you can't go back to Krishna. Because envy, matsara, is the quality which holds us away from Krishna, which took us away from Krishna in the first place. So the only way you can get back to Krishna is if you become unenvious. And if you're envious of anyone, then... So if you say to someone, I'm not your servant, that means you're envious of Krishna. That is the mood of a devotee, is to always serve. And the more we become absorbed in that consciousness, the closer we get to Krishna. Vaishnav Seva, Nama Ruchi. Lord Chaitanya's teachings are basically summarized into three components. Vaishnav Seva, I serve Vaishnavas. Jiva Doya, I give mercy to conditioned souls. And Nama Ruchi, I develop a taste for the holy name. You only get a taste for the holy name when you absorb yourself in the other two. If you're absorbed in Jiva Doya, giving mercy to the conditioned souls, then you would develop Namaruchi. If you don't, then it would be very difficult. And you have to serve Vaishnavas, devotees. If you don't serve devotees, you won't develop Namaruchi. You won't get taste for the holy name. So it's interesting. Krishna could have said, all of his friends are there, he could have said, go and get the calves so I can enjoy with my friends. He's the Supreme Lord. Everyone would have done it. Right? Everyone would have been eager to serve Krishna. Krishna said, go and get the calves. Everyone would have jumped up and ran to get the calves. Interesting. This is the nature of the devotee. A devotee will jump up, regardless of his position, he will jump up to serve the Lord. Right? There's one pastime, Prabhupada was in the airport with his disciples, and there was about 40 devotees sitting around Prabhupada. You know, devotees, you see the old footage? They used to take over the airport, you know, wherever Prabhupada went. Devotees would just take over. We don't do it now because we're a little bit more, I don't know. Either before they were just so absorbed in ecstasy that they didn't know where they were, which is probably what was happening. But these days, we're more conscious of what's going on around us. But back then, because of Prabhupada's presence, they just were not conscious of what was going on. So they were taking over an airport lounge. Everyone was sitting on the floor, and Prabhupada was sitting on a seat. So all the passengers couldn't come and sit on those seats, because all the devotees were all over the floor. So one man came, and he said to one of the devotees, he said, can you please ask everyone to stand up? And So this devotee stood up on a chair, you know, in the middle of the airport, as devotees do. So he stands on the chair and he says, everyone vacate. He said, all the devotees vacate immediately. Right? And only one devotee stood up. Right? And that was Prabhupada. Right? As soon as Prabhupada heard, all the devotees vacate immediately, Prabhupada stood up, oh, jumped up, oh, I'm causing inconvenience. But all the other devotees didn't even move. So it's interesting, right? Because the nature of a pure devotee, the nature of Krishna himself, he wants to serve. It's spontaneous. He just wants to serve. He doesn't care which devotee it is, which situation it is, who it is. He just wants to serve. That's the nature of a Vaishnava, an actual Vaishnava. So Krishna, because all of us are reflections of Krishna, right? We are Swarat, which means we have individuality, but we're created in the image of God. And what does God like to do himself? He likes to serve the devotees. So Krishna, he said to all the devotees, you stay here, I'll go and find the calves. So he went to find the calves. And then Lord Brahma, he came, he stole everyone, as we know, hid them in the cave. Krishna, being Savagya, right? Krishna knows, okay, what's going on. Krishna replicates everything. Brahma comes back, sees everything there. That's strange. I just took everyone. Goes back. Everyone's still there. That's strange, because they're there and there. Right? So now he's bewildered. Right? He just thought, I will bewilder Krishna. Because he just wanted to test. He wanted to see who is supreme. Is this supreme, this person? So he has not just been bewildered, he's just been completely bewildered by a maya or a illusion, yoga maya, which is far more powerful than anything he beholds. So he goes and then he comes back again and then everyone's still there and he's thinking, okay, now I'm just confused, what's going on? And then suddenly they all turn into Vishnu with four arms. And he says, oh, okay. And he just gets nervous. You know, sometimes you offend someone who's much more powerful than you. Or you act improperly in front of someone who's much more powerful than you. Then how do you start to feel? Right? You start to, like, the life here has become... And Lord Brahma is like, oh, what have I done? You know, he's really feeling. So then, everyone's there. So he walks off to find Krishna. Krishna's still in the forest looking for the calves. So Krishna's walking around. And then Lord Brahma finds him. And he comes up and he offers Dandavat. You know, four heads, you know, gold. His form is golden, effulgent. Four heads, covered in jewelry. And gets up and then in Sanskrit begins to offer the most wonderful prayers. So Krishna's a cowherd boy. He's about 7 years old. And he's looking at Lord Brahma. And he's got yogurt in his left hand. Right? Now, what's the first thing you learn when you come to the temple and you start taking prasadam? You never touch prasadam with your left hand. Right? That's the muchi hand. Right? We're all taught like that. Right? Prabhupada, interesting, when Prabhupada would eat a banana, Prabhupada would pick up a banana and peel it with his teeth. He wouldn't use the left hand. Right? He wouldn't use the left hand to take prasad. Only you can use the left hand to drink water. If you don't touch it to your mouth, you can pick up and cook like that. But you don't break the chapatis. Sometimes you see devotees that break chapatis and like that. But, you know, Prabhupada taught us you break it with your right hand. That's considered cultured. Especially if you go to India, you know, people will see that as very uncultured. You must never use your left hand. Always use the right. So Krishna's there in front of Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma is offering the most wonderful prayers. Chapter 14 of the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam. And Krishna's he's got yogurt in the left hand. And in between each finger, he has, the acharyas explain, he has like a piece of ginger, a piece of lemon, a piece of chili, a piece of pickle. You know, in between, he's got them balanced in between his fingers. And he's kind of mixing it all together with his dahi, with his yogurt. And he's just eating. And he's looking at Brahma like, who's the guy? You know, like, what's going on? You know, just like eating. And Brahma saying, you are the summon, but you are the source of everything. I am, you know, and Krishna's just like eating. And when he finishes the prayers, he's just looking at Krishna, he's just thinking, please forgive me. And he's silent, and then he falls on the ground and offers a banana, and he gets up and he looks and Krishna just walks off. Krishna doesn't even say anything. He just kind of shrugs and thinks, oh, I don't know what this is about. And he just walks off into the forest to find his friends and cows. Because Krishna is so absorbed in Vrindavan Leela. Right? And Brahma cannot even touch Vrindavan Leela in that kind of consciousness. Vrindavan's not like that. There's no offering prayers and all this stuff. It's not there. There's also the pastime when Indra steals all of the... No, sorry. When Indra tries to rain upon Vrindavan after Govardhan Leela, and then after inundating Vrindavan, Indra leaves, flies off on Airavata. And he once again, he feels very ashamed because he's tried to disturb Krishna's Leela. So then he comes back to Vrindavan and he comes to find Krishna. So he finds Krishna next to Govardhan Hill. Krishna's put the hill back down, the cows have dissipated. So Krishna's by himself. So he comes to Krishna and then he offers prayers to Krishna. And then all the other demigods appear as well. Lord Brahma comes down on his swan. Shiva comes down on Nandi the bull. Indra comes down on Airavata. So all the demigods appear. And then they do a Maha Abhishek of Krishna at Govindakund. So if you go to Vrindavan, if you go to Govardhan Hill, next to Govardhan Hill is Govindakund. And this is the Abhishek water of that where Krishna was bathed. So they're all there. Brahma's doing the aarti. Right? Lord Shiva is waving the peacock fan and the whisk. Indra is offering prayers and offering tambula and doing that. And Krishna's sitting there on a big simhasana, a big throne, and he's sitting there and he's regally just sitting. And he's accepting the worship. And all the gods are worshipping in the universe. All the gods are worshipping this cowherd boy. And the cowherd boy is just sitting there. So he accepts the worship, he just nods very respectfully to everyone. And then they all finish, they offer their prayers, they offer obeisances, they get on their carriers and they fly off into the sky. And then the cowherd boys, the whole time, the cowherd boys have been behind the trees and they're just watching, what's taking place. So they're just like that. And then when all the gods go, they run out, right? And some of them run up and they sit with Krishna on the simhasana. Right? And then some of them pick up the chamaras and they pick up the aarti and they start worshipping Krishna, doing the same thing. And they're all joking around. They're going, oh, you are Gopal, you are supreme, you're the greatest. We all know you, yes, yes, yes. But then they're doing all this puja to Krishna. So the demigods are looking out and they look back down and they see how much... Then Krishna begins to become animated. Before he's just sitting like a king, silently and regally. But then he becomes animated. He begins to joke around. He's laughing and they're all pushing each other. Sitting there on the simhasana, his friends are sitting there. They're pushing him. He's pushing them back. Like that. They're just having fun. They're just enjoying themselves. So the demigods realize in the consciousness they're in, they can't enter Vrindavan. They were in Vrindavan, but they couldn't enter Vrindavan. Because Vrindavan has no Aishwarya. Vrindavan is covered with Aishwarya, but it is inundated or overwhelmed by Madhurya. So therefore, they had no access to the pastimes. So then, Nanda Maharaj comes along, and then he walks along and he says, what's going on? He says, suddenly there's all this paraphernalia laying all over the place. There's a huge simhasana, a huge throne there. And he said, what's going on? This is Vrindavan. Where did all this come from? So the boys jump off the throne. They go, yeah, yeah. They said, these guys came down from the sky. One of them had four heads. One had eyes all over his body. One of them, he had five heads. They're riding on swans and bulls and elephants. And they worship Krishna. And they all flew off. And Nanda Maharaj is looking at the boys. And he's just thinking, this is very strange. So this is the nature of the pastimes. So the point the Bhagavatam is making to us is that as we go through the Bhagavatam, when we arrive at Canto 10, Krishna is going to appear to be ordinary in many ways. And you cannot become bewildered. Because the whole Bhagavatam is for one point, to establish Krishna is supreme. There's 330 chapters in the Bhagavatam. How many chapters in the 10th canto? 90. Right? So most of the Bhagavatam is actually the 10th canto. Over a quarter is the 10th canto. So that the 10th canto is the point of the Bhagavatam. Krishna is the essence of the Bhagavatam. Krishna is to Bhagavan Swayam. Right? The whole Bhagavatam is to establish his supremacy. But when you get to the 10th canto, you have to understand that he is supreme. He's not ordinary. So the reason he's appearing here as a boar is for this reason. He appears as a boar to make us understand, I am supreme. Can you get your head around this? I am supreme. I'm a boar. Will you worship the boar? Will you bow before a boar? Will you offer bhoga to the boar? Right? And yes, we do. And you have to get yourself into this consciousness. Whatever he is, whoever he is, I will just worship him, regardless of the form he takes. I have no... I mean, people must think, you know, if you go to the way the world is these days, it's interesting when you look in the first canto of the Bhagavad Gita, in the seventh chapter, at the beginning, when Vyasadeva begins to write the Bhagavad Gita, he sees he has a darshan of Kali Yuga. Right? He sees Kali. And what is the feature which is mentioned? The Bhagavad Gita says that he sees one thing or one quality in particular at that time. Does anyone remember what the quality is? Right? He has darshan of Kali Yuga. He says this is the future. Right? This is 5,000 years ago when it was just beginning. And he looks at the whole thing, and then when he has darshan, what's the overwhelming feature that he sees? Ashraddha. People lack faith. People don't have faith in anything these days. Right? That's the overwhelming feature of Kali Yuga. People lack faith. They lack faith in leaders. They lack faith in everything. People question everything these days. So when it comes to trying to establish that God is a cowherd boy who's blue with a peacock feather and the yellow, you know, this is very difficult for people to comprehend. So he takes these forms, like the form of the boar, and it is difficult for people to accept these things. But this is what he's doing. Will you bow down before a boar? Now, if you take the modern world and you bring them in here right now, you know, the people in this street, the neighbors, you know, living 70 feet away from us or 100 meters away from us, you bring them in here right now and they're listening to this conversation. They think, yeah, the Haris are really nice. You know, we've got good food, lovely people. Even yesterday I was speaking to one man, we're organizing the Holi festival, and I needed something to make this festival happen. So I rang this man in the local area, and he goes, oh yeah, I like you people. He said, you are good people. He said that to me. He said, you are good people. Yeah, I'll help you. And he's going to like assist us. I said, so they think we're lovely people. They think the food's wonderful. But if they start hearing what comes out of our mouth, right? Or they start seeing what we do at 5 o'clock in the morning, you know, like, you know, we're the guys who walk around trees at 5 o'clock in the morning. Right? They're all asleep. We're walking around trees. We're bowing down to trees. We're praying to trees at 5 in the morning. And then our priests go into the altar and worship rocks. Right? At pebbles at 5 o'clock in the morning.
And they think it's God.
What's that?
And they think the rock is God.
And we think it's God. Yeah, we further... You know, we further extend the whole situation. Yeah, we're strange people. Don't worry about the way we dress. That's nothing. You know, like we wear robes and we put, you know, mud on our face, but that's nothing. You know, compared to what comes out of our mouths and what we do, like we're wild, right? And then we have these statues that we worship, right? Like clockwork. 7 times a day they get fed. You know, and then. I mean, these statues are here, but you go to India, like some of the Gaudiya Math temples, they have, you know, deities of Varaha, of the boar, right? And the devotees are worshipping Lord Boar. They bow before Lord Boar, they cook elaborate offerings for Lord Boar, they do all these things for Lord Boar. So the modern world would think we are crazy. There is no Shraddha, there is no faith. You know, so it's very difficult for people to comprehend. So why does... And this is why it is difficult to spread the Hare Krishna movement in this day and age. Because we're bringing super excellent or super, transcendental, Divya Leela, transcendental concepts and pastimes and, you know, a philosophy which is coming into the modern era where people completely lack faith. Right? They think matter is real. They think living here, we're going to live here forever. And our challenge is to say, wait a minute, this is false. Right, these relationships are false, and there is something much higher. Now, how does Shraddha develop? Haridas Thakur says in the Harinam Chintamani, he explains to us how Shraddha develops. Because in the elevation or the evolution or succession of development of Krishna consciousness, we go through 9 stages. Right? We begin with Shraddha, and from Shraddha we go to Prema, from Shraddha to Prema. So there's 9 steps. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, he explains in Madhuya Kadambini, but also Harinam Chintamani, Haridas Thakur explains, where does the Shraddha come from in the first place? Right? It comes from Agyata Sukriti. So Agyata Sukriti means unknown devotional activities. And he said there's 3 types of Sukriti. Jnanonmukhi, Kamonmukti, and Bhakti Unmukhi Sukriti. There's 3 types. So Jnana and Kama, pious Sukriti means pious activity. Su means like good or pious or Sukriti. So pious activity. Jnana means cultivation of knowledge and these things. And karma means good works, good activity. So you do good things, you're a pious person, that does not lead to bhakti. It doesn't make bhakti or devotion arise in your heart. However, it does make a positive field for bhakti. Because I used to notice when I was on book distribution many years ago that quite often the people who would stop on the streets, quite often the people were nurses. Because someone's walking down the street, you say, excuse me, from Melbourne or from out of town, right? And they stop, and then I'd say, what do you do? We'd give them the book and say, what do you do? And they say, I'm a nurse. Now, they would stop because there's already a field of piousness within their consciousness. They're thinking outside of themselves. So it creates the right field. So we find pious people. It's easy to give Krishna consciousness to a pious person, to a good person. But in and of itself, just being a nurse, just looking after people in the hospital, that's not creating bhakti or devotion. So it is bhakti unmukhi, which means unknown devotional activities. Now, unknown devotional activities come in 3 primary ways. And if you look at Prabhupada's formula for spreading Krishna consciousness, it was a 3-pronged attack. Right? It was like a trident, a spear, which has 3 heads. So Prabhupada said, what was his formula for spreading the Krishna consciousness movement? Prasadam distribution. Harinam, distribution of the holy name, and distribution of books. Right? And it was interesting because Tamal Krishnamurti said to Prabhupada in about 76 or 77, he said to Prabhupada, because they were having a close talk, and he said to Prabhupada, he said, if you had your time again, would you do it differently? The way you chose to spread ISKCON. If you look back, it was 76, Prabhupada started in 65, so 11 years ISKCON had grown, things had happened. So he said to Prabhupada, would you do it differently? Prabhupada said, no, I would not change anything. Prasadam distribution, book distribution, and Harinam. It changes the public. We can't see it, but it changes the public. And actually, you can see it if you do look closely. I used to remember, I used to sit in Gopals. We used to go on Harinam every week in Melbourne. And I'd sit in Gopals after the Harinam. And I'd look around the restaurant, and I'd see in Crossways as well, people would be taking prasadam and they'd be reading Prabhupada's books simultaneously. Do they still have the books on the tables? Yeah, that's good. They took the books off the tables for a while. That's not good, in my opinion. The books should be on the tables. Because I saw people, they're taking prasadam, and I'd see the same people coming in month after month after month after month coming into the restaurant. And I'd see them, they come in the first few times, they'd just be sitting there taking their prasadam, eat their meal, whatever, go. But then after some time, I'd see the same people. And then one day they'd pick up the book and they'd start reading it. And they'd see them come in, and every time they came in, they'd pick up the book and they'd keep reading it from that place. And that's Agyata Sukriti, because when the consciousness is becoming purified by prasadam, right, then you can get some attraction to the holy name. And then you can get some attraction to reading Prabhupada's books. So it is the systematic formula. So we have to spread as much prasadam as possible, as much of the holy name as possible, and as much of book distribution as possible. And it will work. It will have effect. Of course, these days we have to think of other ways as well, because the world's changing rapidly. It's a point that we have to understand as well. Prabhupada was extremely flexible, and he was extremely He said utility is the principle. Right? He would change things constantly, Prabhupada. One time, there was some controversy, and devotees were not dressing as devotees, they're dressing as non-devotees. It means like in non-devotee attire. So I came to Prabhupada, and Tamal Krishnamurti was speaking with Prabhupada, and a lot of books were going out, but the devotees were not dressed as devotees anymore because it was difficult to distribute books as devotees. So then Prabhupada said, because then it was coming back, our devotees are dressing like this and dressing like that. So then Prabhupada said, okay, from now on, everyone, Dodi and Kirta and Sari, everyone in the movement. And Tamal Krishnamurti said to Prabhupada, he said, Prabhupada, it will drop book distribution by 75%. And Prabhupada said, oh, then no. But he said, they must dress like ladies and gentlemen. And he said, none of this hippie attire. Which means you must be presentable. That's the point. If you're representing the Hare Krishna movement, you must look presentable. That's the point. You have to look good. And Prabhupada said this, actually, in 1977. He said, a salesman must have three qualities. Right? He must look good. Right? As soon as you see someone, they're coming to sell you something, if they look good, you think, oh yeah, okay. That's good. And he said, they must have knowledge of the product. And he said, they must use the product. I can't go to you and say, buy this full set of Bhagavatams. I don't read it, but you should read it. No, you must read it. And you must know your product. And you must look good. Look appropriate. So this is necessary. So we're spreading Krishna consciousness. We have to think of new ways to do it. And we have to constantly, Prabhupada said, rack your brains to spread the Hare Krishna movement. Just like on Friday night, we started a new program down at Torquay, in my mother's house, actually. You might have seen it on Facebook if you saw it. So we called it the Meditation Hut. So, because if we say the Hare Krishna something or other, people may not come. Meditation Hut, so okay, people come. We charge them $25 a head. Right? They come. And it's just my mother's house, not a meditation hut. We just call it that. And then people come. And then we do a program, same old program, right? But then, because it's on meditation, then we teach them to meditate, so everyone goes silent. They sit cross-legged, we teach them how to breathe, and then how to, and we all chant Om together, right? And then we do some visualization like this. And people, they get right into it. And then we say to them, and then in our tradition, we chant this mantra. So then we all chant this Hare Krishna mantra, and they're right into it, because we create like a mood like that. So it's just the same thing, but different marketing. And Prabhupada said this about Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, because Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was a genius in thinking of new ways to spread Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada said, old wine in a new bottle. Right? About Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Old wine in a new bottle. He'd always be thinking the same old thing. It's the same old thing. We're just doing it. It's the same thing. We just chant Hare Krishna, we take prasadam, and it's just the same. It's all the same. But we're just a new way of marketing it, new way of packaging it. Right? So this is the way devotees have to think constantly. Right? We have to rack our brains. How to give the same old message to the people. Because they need to develop shraddha and faith. So that one day they can sit here with us and they can talk about God in the form of a boar. And they can accept it. But they won't accept it. If we go to the meditation hut and we say, okay, now everyone meditate on a boar. this effulgent boar. It comes out of the nostril of Lord Brahma. This boar comes out of the nostril and turns as big as the universe practically. And you go, now meditate on that. And people think, okay. That's really nice. We'll see you next time. So you have to be very intelligent how we market the Hare Krishna movement like that. So think of new ways constantly to bring people in. But we have to bring people to Krishna. And it's very difficult in this day and age because people have lost faith. Right? It was interesting because this man rang me up. We're advertising, we're doing this program. So then he rings me and he says, me and my wife have been practicing meditation for 30 years. He said, what are you going to do with the program? I said, well, we're Hare Krishna, so we're going to chant Hare Krishna, and we're going to do meditation and like all this stuff. And then he said to me, he goes, oh, I'm not really into organized religion. And I said to him, I said, yeah, but you know, it's a spiritual movement and it's a spiritual night and it's not sectarian and like this. I said all that stuff. But he said, okay, I'll think about it. So he didn't ring me back because he was obviously thought, okay, I'm not going to come because you know, it was organized. He just didn't want to get so close to the Hare Krishna movement. So then my mother and my wife, they've got a cleaning business down in Torquay. So this guy rings up and he says, can you come and clean our house? So they go around the house. And then the guy's saying, you know, and they're having his talk, and you know, my mother's very charismatic, and she's an excellent preacher. My mother, she became a devotee. She just, you know, I mean, she's a devotee.
She is,
yeah. But if she got like fixed, man, she's powerful. So she says to this guy, she says, oh yeah, we're doing this meditation night tonight. And he goes, oh yeah, I was thinking of coming to this meditation night in Tubular Avenue. And she goes, yeah, it's at my house. And the guy's like, really? And then he thinks, okay, she's normal. Right? What's that? Yeah, well, she's just a normal person, the way she deals with people. You know, we're a bit what we are, but, you know. So it broke down all the barriers. The guy goes, okay, I'll come. Right? So this is, you know, we just have to think of newer and newer ways to spread the Hare Krishna movement. Right? Because people don't have faith. And the guy said, he said, you know, I'm not interested in organized right, like that. But then, you know, he says, oh no, these people are just normal. And it's not all sectarian. It's not like we're trying to throw something on you or push something on you. We're just saying, this is what we do. This is what I just said, this is what we do. It's our tradition. It works for us. We've been doing it for years and years and we like doing it. And we're happy. Right? It gives us inner satisfaction. So if you like doing it. And then one guy said to me at the end, he goes, so should I do this or should I do my normal silent meditation? And I just said, well, just add it in. You know, just do 10 minutes of this as well. You're already doing your stuff, so just put this in. See if it works. If you like it, keep doing it. So we just have to present it to them because people don't have faith. But we have to develop faith. So we just keep going out there. We just keep doing it. And then eventually people become attracted. And they do. They're, like this guy who we rang for the Holi Festival the other day. And he picks up the phone and I said, oh, I really need help here. I'm stuck. The CFA have got all these requirements. I'm having trouble finding people to help. You know, to give me this, you know, we have to get like a water tanker on site. And I was ringing around everyone, all the water tankers are not available because of the fires down there and everything. And I ring this one guy, and he picks up the phone, and I said, oh, you know, I'm from the Hare Krishna farm, I'm a bit stuck, I need some help. And he goes, yeah, he goes, I like you people, you're good people. You know, he said, I dropped the water down to Dalmatai, down in Deep Space. So I dropped there, and he goes, yeah, this guy's a really good guy. And he goes, yeah, I'll help you people. And I'll do it really cheap for you guys. And I was just like, wow, you know. So developing faith in the people, you know, because they said they've lost faith in everyone else. It was interesting because we were selling prasadam last week at the Nightjar Market down in Torquay. And this guy came up to me and he said, oh, I used to go to Crossways when I was a student 25 years ago and all this. And he said, I don't like organized religion. No one likes organized religion these days. No one likes it. So he said, I don't like organized religion. He said, the only two groups I like is the Hare Krishnas and the Buddhists. He said, you're good people. You're different to the others. Right? So it's true. That's true. People have faith. Right? We've got to develop faith in people. Right? And it's interesting because if you look at the biggest spreading religions on the planet at this point in time, right, there's different religions which are spreading very rapidly at this point. One of the ones that is spreading very rapidly is the Mormons. They're spreading very powerfully. They're well organized, they've got a methodology, and they're spreading very rapidly. Now, if you look at them philosophically, it's garbage. Right? There's no philosophy there whatsoever. You can pick through it in 10 seconds. There's nothing there. But the way they get people is just by human interaction. Right? They come around, they knock on your door, right? Then you know you get involved with them. And they come back, they mow your lawn, right? They do your garden, they just look after you. Right? And everyone's lacking personal relationship these days, right? Everyone's unhappy. Not everyone, but, you know, a lot of people are unhappy and they're desperate and they're empty. And then suddenly someone comes around, he's mowing my lawn, doing all this thing, and the guy says, oh, so why don't you just come down to our church on Sunday? And I think, oh, okay, you know, because he's such a man. And they go down the church and then they become Mormon. That's how they do it. So as Hare Krishnas, that's how we have to do it as well. We can't just, you know, drop Bhagavad Gita's in everyone's laps. There has to be follow-up, right? It's the way we treat the people. It's how we deal with the people. right? And if you treat them properly and you deal with them properly, they develop faith. Oh yeah, these guys are different, right? And okay, their philosophy must have something in it, right? Because their food's the best, right? They're all into this food. Just like we're at the market the other day selling prasadam, and this lady comes up to me, and it happens every market, every time we do prasadam distribution. People come up and they say, I've been waiting for this pakora for 12 months. They say it every time. You know, dozens, like, you know, Chitabad, you know, like every time. Dozens of people come. I've been waiting for this for 12 months. And I say, you don't have to wait 12 months. Like, just come over to the farm. Like, we're half an hour away. You can just come over. You can have it once a month, or you can have it more if you want it. You know, but people, they're attached to prasadam. You know, the day my father died, I went to see my father, and I walked in the room. Hadn't had much contact with my father for 20 years, so it was like a big moment, big event. It was, you know, a big thing. Walk in the room, there's a nurse with him, and I'm dressed as a devotee. So I walk in the room, and the nurse goes, have you got any of the food? I'm here to see my father. So he's about to die. It's like the last time I'm ever going to see him. I'm just going. And I said, well, actually, I do. I do have some of the food. So, I gave it. It was the day after Gaur Panim. So I gave her like my half from Gaur Panim. And I said, yeah, Hare Krishna, thank you very much. But people, they're attacked. They're like, they become like, how would you say it? It's like they develop some madness for prasadam. They're madness. So we also have that taste. And Prabhupada said, what is the best way to spread this movement? Purity. Purity is the force. So if we had that taste, it becomes contagious. We love prasadam. So then also they will get that contagiousness. We love the holy name. They will also get that contagiousness. We are absorbed in Prabhupada's books. They will also become attracted to our philosophy. So that's what Prabhupada said. If you use the product, that is the best way to sell the product. So you become ecstatic, everyone else will become ecstatic. Now, if you're not ecstatic, no. If the Hare Krishna people aren't happy, then who's going to be happy on this planet? Seriously. Seriously. People sometimes say this to me, like, you know, when we're preaching. You know, they say, oh, sometimes I see the Hare Krishnas, and, you know, some of them don't look very happy. Like, that doesn't make, that, to them, that doesn't make sense. Because all we talk about is happiness and love and, you know, perfection. And they see us, and some of us don't look very happy. It doesn't make sense. So the best service you can do for this movement is to be ecstatic. And how do you be ecstatic? Just take prasadam, right? Read the books, distribute the books, and absorb yourself in the holy name. And if you're not blissful, then there's a problem with you. Because Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, if you have life, then you can preach. So if you've got that, then other people will be attracted. So we'll stop here, and we'll see if there's any questions or comments that we have discussed. Karma Mukhi. Two. Karma Mukhi and Jnana Mukhi. And Bhakti. There's three types of Sukriti. Bhakti, Jnana and Karma. So Bhakti is the one that leads to Bhakti. So, any other question or comment? There's different reasons. If you read the commentaries of the acharyas, the answers are all in the commentaries, in the purports. So you have to read Prabhupada's purports, and then you have to read the further purports of Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur and the others. So one reason is Brahma's offence was more severe because he physically tried to separate Krishna away from his devotees, and Krishna doesn't like that. If you stop someone from getting to Krishna, Krishna doesn't like that. And if you bring someone to Krishna, Krishna overwhelmingly, he says, one who is my devotee is not my devotee, but one who says he's the devotee. In other words, you bring other people to him. He says at the end of the Gita, one who preaches this message to others, he is the most dear to me. So, because Brahma, one reason is because Indra was, his offense was, you know, incredibly big, but Brahma's was even worse, because he just tried to separate, remove the bridge buses from Krishna's presence. So, another reason is why Krishna accepted Indra more quickly than Brahma. He forgave both. He forgave both of them. But the reason is because Indra came with Sarubi. So Krishna loves the cows. Just like yesterday, I was leaving the farm, and Mani had Giri, our bull, and he had some apparatus on the back of him. He's getting to pull logs and stuff. He's training him to pull. So as soon as you see a cow or a bull, especially our cows and bulls, because they have so much personality and they're so powerful, you just become happy, you become soft. So Indra, he was intelligent. He put Sarubi in front of him, and Krishna saw the game, he just got into a good mood. And he was angry at Indra, because Indra had been acting improperly. But when he was in a good mood, and then he looked, yeah, okay, you're there, okay. Whatever, because my cow is here. Like that. So Brahma didn't do that, he just came by himself. So if you commit an offense, then you have to fall at the feet of the devotee. But one way to make someone happy, if you offend a devotee, of course you go to that devotee and you serve them. But then when that devotee sees that you are serving other devotees who are dear to him, then he becomes favorably inclined towards you. So there's some of the reasons why. Yeah. If you read the commentaries, everything's explained in the commentaries. Any other question or comment? What's the question? When he says one thing, does he mean another thing? In the Gita? Yeah. If you read Baladeva Vijayabhushana's commentary and Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's commentary, yeah, there's some things there. A few things. Like, Mam Ekam Sharanam Braja. So if you read that, the commentary, you'll see there's, they make comments. There's further meanings, deeper meanings. So in the Gita, it's there also. Everything's in the commentaries. And it's interesting because in the very first purport of the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada said in the very first purport, sometimes devotees say we should not read anything, just Prabhupada's books. But if you read Prabhupada's books, Prabhupada doesn't say that. The very first purport of the Bhagavatam, he says you should read all the commentaries of all of the previous acharyas. He says that. So Prabhupada's books is they are the basis of our spiritual life. But Prabhupada said we have to read all the commentaries also. So if you read the commentaries, everything's there. Any other question? Srila Prabhupada ki jai.